Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The hymn is number 487. May we read responsively, selection number 87. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. Christ is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, so making peace. Let us pray. Holy, holy, holy art thou, O Lord. The whole earth is full of thy glory. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. A few years ago, there was written a prize essay or editorial. It was published in the New South. I shall read that short essay this morning. It isn't very long. It is titled, This Could Be a Southern Century. It's an editorial by Cecil French. A short-sleeved man plods through the loam of North Florida's slash pine country to the porch of a white frame cottage. He extends his hand to a man waiting there. Each man squeezes three times with the thumb on the ridge of the other's hand, twisting slightly backward as he does so. Ayak? One of them asks. Akaye? Responds the other. Two members of the Ku Klux Klan, unknown to each other, thus establish kinship in the invisible empire. To them, Ayak means, are you a Klansman? And Akaye means, a Klansman I am. It was as if the shadows of history had receded, and there, reincarnated in the bright sunlight of the new South, was some half-forgotten obscenity. A grief ago, it would all have been so natural, so understandable, so forgivable. In 1863, or even in the dismal decades that followed, there would have been reasons. There are no valid reasons today. Yet, the ritual is repeated in turnip patches and broom sage fields, and on bayous and under moss-festooned oaks throughout the South. And so are all of the other rituals that make so many Southerners the prisoners of a terrible inheritance. For Southerners, however they may deny it, are still tightly, perhaps even inextricably, bound to a deliberate, self-conscious mystique. John Brown's soul may or may not go marching on, depending on which side of the Mason-Dixon line you learned your song. But the passions it unleashed still take their toll. Why do these bones and dust, relics and fragments of an American Huguenot, still stir the air to life? The answers lie in a history of human convulsions and awful travel, long remembered and long resented. It is what James Branch Cabell was talking about in The Rivet in Grandfather's Neck. Quote, our actual tragedy isn't that our fathers were badly treated, but that we ourselves are constitutionally unable to do anything except to talk about how badly our fathers were treated. End quote. Then too, as Marshall Fenwick wrote much later, to be a Confederate today isn't nearly as dangerous as it was in the 1860s. No risk, no marching, no bleeding. The pose is there for the taking. The central tragedy of the modern South is that even its best efforts are so terribly tentative. Its leaders often speak grandly of economic revolution and social progress on the one hand, while pledging allegiance to dusty concepts of 19th century conservatism on the other. If there is any such thing as Southern liberalism in the nation today, more often than not, it masquerades demurely under the label of moderation. Moderation has its virtues. If the choice is between two violent forms of self-destruction, but, logically, There can be no moderation on the broad principles involved in the safeguarding of human rights, in the advancement of elementary democracy, in the promotion of economic progress, in the protection and in the development of the health, mental aptitudes, and physical vigor of the region's human resources. Only the vibrant qualities of a South that is extremely concerned, extremely determined, and extremely enlightened can make gains which are permanent and enduring. Moderation in these matters has no legitimacy whatsoever. The exciting fact is that this could be the Southern century. All around us are the resources of social and economic progress, which, so far, have been barely touched in 4 centuries. There is a compression of human energy within one orbit, a potentiality and vitality of people. True enough, the South is brash, sensitive, unsure, and provincial. It is an unpredictable and intractable region, but these very qualities give it an explosive promise unmatched anywhere in America. Together with its rich abundance of untapped natural resources, its forests, its minerals, its water, and its magnificent climate, it offers the promise of unimaginable wealth and progress. It is perfectly true that human problems are posed here with singular directness and nakedness. For better or worse, it is the unique place where the great social dilemmas of our age inevitably take hold of the individual. Furthermore, the South in 1959, yea, in 1966, is still a pandemonium of harsh voices. But the voices have turned sour. More than sound and fury, the modern South needs bold and enlightened leadership. More than rant, it needs reason. It needs men to voice its true aspirations and direct its true destiny. Men who will not permit America's profession of faith and equal opportunity and freedom for the human spirit to be watered down, whether in the name of expediency or the plea of exterior menace. Nor can such leaders be satisfied with the knowledge that progress has been made. Of course, progress has been made. But the distance the South has come must stand always as a reminder of the distance yet to be traveled. Despite the cynics and the hot-eyed prophets of disaster, we maintain that Southerners will respond to such leadership if it is offered. But there must be a sense of revival, of renaissance of something old in new and enlightened terms. The best of the Southern tradition must be preserved and the worst discarded. Furthermore, the battle is here. It must be fought here with our own people. The response must come as much from the rednecks and wool hat boys as from the professors and the politicians and the manufacturers of the dominant middle class. With wise and courageous leadership, the region can triumph over the cobwebs of pride and prejudice. For the naysayers of the North are wrong. The story of the modern South is not that it exists as an enduring embodiment of human wrong, but as enduring embodiment of human possibility. The possibilities, fully realized, can make this the Southern century. I shall conclude with the reading of the poem once to every man and nation, by James Russell Lowell. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide in the strife of truth and falsehood for the good or evil side. Some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever twixt that darkness and that light. Then to side with truth is noble when we share her wretched crust, hear her cause bring fame and profit, and 'tis prosperous to be just. Then it is the brave man chooses, while the coward stands aside, till the multitude make virtue of the faith that they had denied. Though the cause of evil prosper, yet the truth alone is strong. Though her portion be the scaffold, and upon the throne be wrong, yet that scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. Amen.